In our study here of 1 Corinthians, we're taking a look here at the church at Corinth. We went to the book of Acts and saw how the Lord worked and to lead our brother to Corinth there in Greece, in southern Greece, just down the road a bit to the west, if my memory serves me right, from Athens. And so the Lord has done a great work here. He saved many. We don't know how many, but the Lord said he had a great number of people in that city. And Brother Paul was there for 18 months preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ unto them. They've been a church for some time since he had visited them. He's writing back to them to help them in some problems, some issues that they have. The world creeps in. Our old thinking and old ways can creep in. We're subject to that. Again, the Lord tells us and explains to us we are two in one in that we're saved. We have the Spirit of the Lord. For those that are saved, we have the Spirit of the Lord living within. We are a new man in Christ. But we still have this old flesh. The body's not saved. The mind's not saved. They're dealing with these things, and they're tempted to pursue things. They're tempted in the church to not, as a church, deal with things correctly. Another issue that is there within the church is that they don't believe, or there's a contingent there within the church that doesn't believe the Apostle Paul has the authority, the wherewithal, the ability, the calling to be an instructor unto them now. But he does. He's called of the Lord, and that apostleship is just along that line, a man given responsibility to be a reminder and an instructor over many churches. See, I pastor Olmsted Baptist Church. I pastor no other church. Pastor in Olmsted Baptist Church, as a pastor, is I've got my hands full. I mean, I've got more than I can accomplish well. But the apostles were given oversight over churches. They were. And a starter of churches. And so the apostle does have the authority to deal with them. And we don't have indicated to us necessarily who the pastor or pastors of the church at Corinth is. But the apostle is certainly given that charge of the Lord to be a help in that and to be a help unto them. And their betterment is what he desires. He's not looking to lord over them, but he is looking to help them indeed to walk with their Lord. And so chapter 9 is about that. He's dealing with them about his apostleship. And so we read here in 1 Corinthians 9, verse number 1, am I not an apostle? It's kind of abrupt, the change of thinking from the previous chapter in dealing with things sacrificed unto idols, meat in particular. You remember about the meat, our dry marker box here was our meat. It had been sacrificed over here, and then it's brought over here to eat. You know, that nothing is done to that meat. And then he goes to this about his apostleship. Kind of interesting that such a great subject shift, at least what it seems like to me, that he makes here. But he asks them, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? There are those that wonder about the Apostle Paul and say, well, he's not one of the original 12. Well, one of the original 13, because Judas by transgression fell and Matthias took his place. And so there's thinking in the hearts, there's wondering about Brother Paul, one born out of due season. He's later on an apostle indeed, seemingly to the Gentiles. And so he's making this case, maybe even to us, about his apostleship. And have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? He's not faking having seen the Lord. But we have there in the book of Acts where he saw the Lord. And remember this about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, kind of along the line of Brother John the Baptist, was in the deserts in the wilderness around Damascus being instructed of the Lord too. He was there at that church and singularly taught by the Lord. And another, I don't know if it'll be in these books, I don't have a grip on that, but he talks about a man that he knew that was caught up into the third heaven. I think he's wanting to stay away from any kind of thought that he would be bragging about himself, but he tells about the revelation that he had, the Lord showing things unto him. And so he poses this to him. Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord, which is a requirement of an apostle? Are not ye my work in the Lord? And indeed they are. They are his work in the Lord. If I be not an apostle unto others, okay, so everybody else but you, church at Corinth, yea, doubtless I am to you. There can be no mistake that I am an apostle at the very least unto you. If I am to no one else, I am to you. I think the reason that he says that is because of the great length of time that he spent there. It was really unprecedented compared to other venues where the apostle was taken by the Lord and the time that he spent there. Some, it seems that some places that it might have just been like a week or 2 weeks or even days where folks were saved and the church was started and then he was on the way. Understand, there was continuing communication, but the physical presence of the apostle was great for a greater time, greater than seemingly any, with this church at Corinth. If I be not an apostle unto others, yea, doubtless I am to you, for the seal, the confirmation of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. The Lord's great working amongst you who were heathen, not even knowing God, has showed you, and by the preaching that the Lord blessed through the Apostle Paul, brought them to receive Christ, saved their souls, and a church was established here. Theme verse for the chapter, mine answer to them that do examine me is this. Okay, so this is the theme verse, I believe, of this chapter. He's going to give an answer to those that have doubting about his apostleship unto them. Have we not power to eat and drink? Okay, he's not talking about them and himself. He's talking about from the standpoint of being an apostle. Have we not power to lead about a sister? This word power, in our language, power lends itself more to strength. But in the scripture, when we see the word power, it lends itself to the word authority. Okay? And so we need to understand that about the English. English is a dynamic language. It is a living language. And so we need to understand that. When power is generally spoken about, it's talking about authority. It's talking about authority, and in this case of an apostle, assignment by God to do the things. Have we not power to lead about a sister, power to lead about a wife, as well as other apostles? So he says, the apostles, don't they have the authority, the right, the privilege, the blessing of the Lord to lead about their family, to care for them, or to have a wife? Like other apostles do, as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas. Interesting point here I want to make here. You see that brethren of the Lord? It gives an indication to us, okay, brethren of the Lord. He doesn't say our brethren, but he says brethren of the Lord. It gives an indication of that we think we see in the scriptures that some of the Lord's half-brothers could well have been apostles, okay? And so James the Less is one of those. Jude is one of those. And so an interesting kind of thing. Paul knows about them. He's talking about apostles as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas, who is Peter, an apostle. Or I and only and Barnabas, have we not power to forbear working? So here, if you remember, we'll not take the time, you can go back and look, but at the time that he went to Corinth was in the second missionary journey. And who was with him? Who was with him at that time? It wasn't Barnabas. It was Silas. Okay? There is some thinking, I'll just give this to you, there is some thinking by some with this and along with maybe a passage that's mentioned in Acts, that Barnabas was considered an apostle. Okay, how could that be? Well, it's nothing to get dogmatic about. It's a thing to understand. There was a specialness of those brethren, some brethren that were there under the direct teaching and instruction and leadership of the apostles that kind of hold a special place, not like a second apostle or something like that. But it is that there is, if you take a look at that in the scriptures, you kind of see that. And then after them, we seem to be done with that kind of authority, and we're down to elders, pastors in a church going forward into this time. But Barnabas is mentioned here, even though the brother at the time that he visited Corinth was with Brother Silas. Only he and Barnabas had gone on that first missionary journey. And Brother Barnabas had been an instructor and a helper to Brother Paul as he had been saved. And he was instrumental in bringing Brother Saul, to meet the apostles at Jerusalem, okay? And spent a lot of time ministering together up into that first missionary journey, where they had a contention regarding John Mark, Barnabas's nephew, who had left them in the midst of that journey, and Barnabas wanted to take him on the second, and the Apostle Paul was persuaded not to do so. So Silas then becomes the partner of Brother Paul going forward from the second journey. But he refers to Barnabas here. And so, nevertheless, he says, "Or I only, and Barnabas, have we not power to forbear working?" So he's mentioned this about having a family. He's mentioned this, like the other brethren have had families, other apostles. He mentions this now about working. He's not talking about working in the ministry. He's talking about physical work to meet the physical needs of himself and his family. Now, he's given advice into the church and to those that are not married, that to be like him. That's his advice. The design of the Lord is for there to be a family. But for the sake of the ministry of the Lord, if you want to pursue what the Lord has and the Lord's ministry, he says his judgment is better to stay single so you can just focus on that. Because Brother Peter, for example, Brother Cephas, he had to think about the care for his wife in the midst of being an apostle. And so if you just have to take care of yourself, you don't have to work in the secular world so much just to provide your own victuals and your own housing and all that. But if you have a wife and you have children and you have a responsibility of others in your family given to care, remember Brother John, the apostle, was given the care of the Lord Jesus' wife, or Lord Jesus' mother, Mary, until she died. Okay? And so, and it seems indeed that John lived the longest of the apostles, and I think connected to that is his ability to keep Mary in his household, having been directed that by the Lord. And so, he said, I only and Barnabas, have we not power or authority to forbear working, to not work? He says, church, consider this. Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? He gives these examples, practical examples, likened to parabolistic examples, that about a soldier. Does a soldier equip himself to go to battle for those that have commissioned him? No. He has provided the equipment and what is needed to go fight the battle. Now, indeed, you'll find exceptions with mercenaries and such as that. And I think I heard some of the brethren before services that have been in the military talking about how that the services don't pay for them to do their laundry necessarily, or some of the things, the personal things that they need. That first haircut, I think you guys were talking about, that you have to pay for. So in this day, there are exceptions to that. But from the standpoint of the equipment, in our day, the guns and the ammunition and the vehicles and all that, the person has submitted or has been drafted, and those that are over them provide the equipment for them to be able to go to war. What other way would you think it would be? He gives that example. Or one that works in the vineyard. And understand, this is somebody that's planting a vineyard, tending to the vineyard, and this day guarding the vineyard. A watchtower is given as an example in the scripture. A wine fat, a wine press is there, always tending, running off the foxes that eat the little tender grapes. I mean, there's a lot of tending there. Who plants and is in charge of a vineyard and doesn't eat of what comes of it? Or who shepherds a flock and doesn't enjoy that which comes from the flock as they work to do that? Practical examples that he gives them. He's getting to a point here. Or saith not the law the same also? He says, verse 8, say I these things as a man? Or saith not the law the same also? He says, what's the word of God say? He said, what's the word of God say? That is our rule of faith and practice. He says, verse 9, for it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Now, that doesn't mean that all ministers are like oxes. We don't need to be like oxes, okay? I can't help but think of that. I think it's kind of humorous. But the thing is, listen to what he says. Doth God take care for oxen? He sure does. That was what Israel had been given. You don't muzzle that ox that is there at the grind mill grinding the corn. You let them eat what they will eat. Or what they would do is they wouldn't want them to eat of the grain that was being ground and contaminate that they were going to use themselves. But they would have a trough or have a feeding muzzle on them so they could eat what they were treading and would be satisfied in that work that they were being used for. He says, the law says so by example. Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? Okay, let's read it again. For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? Here's the answer. For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. And so now he goes this of the planting, raising, threshing, and gathering in of grain. He says, you've got one that may have plowed and planted. You've got another that at the harvest would be expert in threshing. That might be a different worker, a different person, but they all work together to the end. What? For the fruit to be brought in. For the fruit to be brought in. The one that plants has hope in the growing. The one that grows and waters has hope in the yield. And the one that tends and keeps the animals away and everything while the fruit is on is in the ear and everything has hope in the one that will come and thresh and gather together into those sheaves, okay? We see that in the scripture. And then taking that to the threshing floor and then threshing it. Each one of them has hope in the former work together to what? That one that was tilling up the ground had the hope of the harvest. Just like the one at the end that's threshing what's been brought in the harvest has hope of what? Food to eat and seed to sow going forward. So, he says here, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? And so he gets down here and spending time on this issue about support of the ministry. I'm thankful for Olmsted Baptist Church and your desire that you were taught, that you're convicted of by the Lord, to care for your pastor. To your hospitality for brethren that come through, our missionaries that we support, and the meetings that we have, and all those things. Your care for me and my family, that's a blessing from God. And it is the way of God. The minister of the Lord and the design of the Lord is that the minister is to give himself to the work and the calling at hand, and the church take care of him as best they can. As would be what would be reasonable is just what the average of the church, how the average of the church lives, is what the pastor would be taken care of. The principle is at hand here. And so he's making this point. If others be partaker of this power over you, he's talking about others that have come through and ministered. We've seen early in the book that Apollos came and ministered, didn't he? It's evidence because some of them say they're of Apollos. Now, maybe they moved there from another place where Apollos ministered and came to Corinth. But it seems indeed that Brother Apollos came there and ministered. He said, if other brethren be partakers of this power or authority over you, for them to come and minister spiritual things to you, and you provide for their food and their lodging, are not we rather? He said, I was the first one here. Now we can take this and we can say, oh, Paul's just really being selfish about this and being self-centered and self-serving about this. That's not his aim. That's not his aim. He's not wanting to have his belly filled and have a roof over his head. That's not his aim. But he is teaching them and teaching us what the design of the Lord is. Okay? It's necessary. We in our day need to know it. They in that day needed to know it. And so they're making an exception with him. They want to take others that have come in and ministered, but the apostle, they want to take and push him away. And he says, who should be first in line to be cared for in this way? You do so for others. If others be partakers of this authority, of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. You want to answer? You want my answer about my apostleship unto you? I want you to consider what I have the authority from God to do, and requiring you as a church to provide for me, but I let that aside. That there not be a hindrance in the hearts and minds of any regarding the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read on here. Nevertheless, we have not used this power from the midst of verse 12, but suffer all things. He would go without a meal. He would go without comfortable lodgings. He would go not having the clothes, as good a clothes as he would want to have. But suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do ye not know that they which minister about the holy things live of things of the temple? And so he goes back to this of what the scripture says regarding the order in the temple of the Lord, regarding the priests of Levi and the line of Aaron. They live of the temple. The ministers of the things in the temple, they live of those things. And the Lord provided in that, their portion in it. And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. So remember that? So here, even amongst the Gentiles, the apostles using the Old Testament scriptures, and the Lord dealing with Israel and their sacrificial and ceremonial law to teach this Gentile church. He said, that's the design. That's the pattern. There are patterns in the scripture that the Lord establishes and continues on. And then in that revealing more, bring us to the New Testament scriptures, just peels more off the onion, if you will, and shows us more and more about it. Even so hath the Lord ordained, verse 14, that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. That's the design of the Lord. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things. So I've not done that. I've not availed myself. I've not called in that authority when I was with you. I've not called that in when I was with you. And I'm not writing this now that it should be so done unto me. I'm not looking for you to change your financial support of me, he's saying. He says, I want you to understand what I did and what I pursued for your behalf. I was willing and rather pursued that you not take care of me physically and financially, but rather just be a preacher and a teacher of the gospel and the doctrine of Christ and not belabor you with that in the meantime. But no. That in regards to others who had been there and had taught that and had preached that, and they had submitted to that, okay, he said, know that that is indeed the design. He said, I'm not doing this. I've used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be done unto me. For it were better for me to die than any man should make my glorying void. He rejoiced in the power of the Lord upon him, to endure even those basic of needs and necessity, and the Lord taking that and using that to be a witness and a minister amongst those there at Corinth. Those who were there at the beginning, they knew the man loved them. They knew it. I believe that they marveled in how he gave his life for their sakes and had endured what he had endured to get there to Corinth. And now, of course, the Lord bringing him that, and he says, I don't want anything to change, because the brother has learned that in suffering and that in want, he gets to experience the power and ability of the Lord to provide when it looks impossible. I've been thinking about this here lately. Do you ever get the feeling? Do you ever get the feeling, the thinking, that the Lord never quits wanting more from us? I tell you what, I'm just going to hang on right here. You may look at me and you may say, Brother Jim gave up everything that he knew, uprooted his family, moved down here to be our pastor. Total change of life. Kind of on the downhill side of the prime of life. I was 43 then. I didn't have all this gray hair. And he just must really be settled and set and there, right there where the Lord wants him, and it's done. Brothers and sisters, you know what the Lord wants of me? You know what I found? And this is not a disappointment. It's just the way that the Lord works in us, works on us, causes us to deal with this flesh that we're chained together with, and the work of that he set before us. I have yet more to do myself. I think that's right. Because where can we ever get to the end of giving for our Lord, who has given so much to rescue us? I remember I've told you, my pastor, and the Lord was dealing with me for surrender to preach and then to surrender, to be willing to be a pastor, if that's what the Lord wanted. And I would tell Clarissa, it never ends what he keeps on saying that the Lord wants out of me. Well, it's the truth. And that's not a bad thing. Because surrendering and yielding to the Lord is the best that there can be. Because what it is, what's on the other end of surrendering and yielding and working and witnessing and living in and walking with and rejoicing in our Lord, what the other end of that is self and what I want to do. And the thing is, what I want to do just isn't going to amount to anything for very long. But what the Lord wants me to do as his son, by the Lord's help, if I'm able to do it, if he will help me and empower me to do it, it'll be laying up treasure in heaven. And it'll be pleasing him in and indeed an eternal thing. No other person that I can serve on this earth can do for me what the Lord has, is, and will do for me in obedience. He's always going to want more. And you know where we're going to get to the end of the Lord wanting more of us? Is when we get rid of this old man. Because you know what we'll be then? A body like Christ, with the mind of Christ, to be there at the Lord 24/7. And not even have a clock or a watch anymore. It's better for me to die, he says, than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, For a necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. That's my calling, he says. He said, I've got to. That's number one. That's all there is for me to do in life. And whether I get fed, he says, or whether I sleep in the rain, or whether I don't have enough clothes, the Lord will take care of that. Woe is unto me if I don't preach the gospel of Christ. He has seen it. He has totally yielded to it. And listen, his focus here in preaching the gospel is from that call from the Lord for him to do so. But there's an aim to that. Okay? There is something else that is trained up in that. To preach the gospel unto whom? Unto sinners. Unto people. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. And we've got a message or two about this. If I do this thing willingly at the call of the Lord and I say, yes, Lord, that's what I'm going to do. You've called me to do it. There's a reward that awaits me. That's the recompense that the Lord said there is. We don't serve and walk with the Lord and His calling on that narrow way, pressing toward the mark for the reward. But the Lord says there is a reward. We do it because He's called us. But if I do it against my will, here's the old man that we fight against, a dispensation, a stewardship, that's what that word means, of the gospel is committed unto me. Which is better, willingly or out of responsibility? Because understand, for the child of God, there's no third option. It's better to go willingly. Looking to the Lord, resting in the Lord, trusting in the Lord. Laying up treasure in heaven, as our Lord Jesus says. Knowing that the Lord will give us the things that we need for physical life. But I tell you what, if we don't do so willingly, he said, if I don't do so willingly, I've got a responsibility and a stewardship because the gospel's been committed unto me. I'm the child, the son of God. I have nothing else that I am to do. I am responsible. So better meet the duty. You know what? When we're operating in duty, we usually don't feel like it, flesh-wise. But I tell you what, we better do what we've been given to do. Because there's no option for the child of God to not. Not in the Lord's mind. And so he says, the call is for me to preach. I've been given a great blessing in this. He brings his body into subjection and his mind and his heart, as he'll speak about those things, to do this thing willingly. But the commitment has been given by the Lord. Who called Moses? God. Did Moses have a choice? No. Did Matthew have a choice? Did John have a choice? Did James have a choice? No. Follow me. It wasn't a suggestion. They were called of the Lord. Just like you and I that claim to be saved, members here at Austin Baptist Church, we've been called of the Lord. We don't have a choice. We are not our own. We've been bought with a price. Just go ahead and we just need to get comfortable with that and keep on getting comfortable with that and go ahead and serve and walk with our Lord. He says here, what is my reward then? Verse 18, verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge. Not that he's asking for payment as he would witness to folks of Christ, but in regards to his ministry here among them, he's saying, look at my pursuit and my way amongst you in the beginning. I did it for your sakes and for Christ's. I belabored you with no physical care. Even after a church was established, he didn't belabor them for his support and those brethren that were with him. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. He said, I've just steered away with it among you. For though I be free from all, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. He said, whatever I can do, even in denying myself, that's what I want to do, that others might hear and believe and receive the gospel of Christ. Are you sure an apostle can talk that way? gain the more? Our brother is looking unto the Lord, and not by trickery, not by hook and crook, but by everything at his disposal in life, following the way of the Lord and the denying of self. He's looking to take and do all he can do as a man to be a witness to sinners. And to the Jews, I became a Jew, as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law. I want you to think about this, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them without the law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law of to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, men and women, boys and girls, that I might by all means save some. Now we know that Paul's not the savior of men. But you know what he did? As he looked on the landscape of those that he engaged, he learned about them. He considered about them and their lives. He took a look and got to know them. He began to study about their baggage and their hang-ups and their problems. If it was a Jew, he approached them as a Jew. If they were one that thought that they were keeping the law, he took and went that way, not justifying their position, but showing them how the law teaches and brings us to Christ, to guilt, to the need of a Savior. To the heathen that are without a law, no ceremonial, no sacrificial, no moral law written down from God, as Israel did. He became one that is free, but not free in the world and free in the flesh, but free in Christ, set at liberty indeed. You know what he did? He studied people, and he visited with people, and he learned about people, to deal with them and do all that he could. I tell you what, I am ashamed. I am ashamed of my limited pursuit and witness to folks in my life. Because what I have been is a drive-by witness for Christ. Kind of driving by, shooting off a track or telling some little thing and then going on. I'll tell you what, our brother was dedicated and over to it. He was dedicated. He was pursuing it. These people were brought into his life, and he prayed for them, and he asked the Lord to help him to understand how to relate to them and speak to them. You know, there's some that would say that is gimmicky. Now, I don't know. I can't tell you other than what the Lord has written right here. It's not gimmicky. We're not talking about gimmicks. We're not talking about sneaking up on people. We're talking about genuine, heartfelt love and concern for sinners that are on their way to hell. That's what he did. He said, it took time. This right here, brothers and sisters, takes time. Takes prayer. Takes pursuit. Takes talking to the Lord about words to speak. He said, I'm telling you, he's telling them these things to exhibit the love and the care and the ministry that he has had by the directive and power of God unto them. He's not bragging on himself. He's just telling the facts, that they might see indeed that he is an apostle unto them and has a say from God regarding them. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. A partaker of the glories of Christ, the family of God, the church of the living God. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all? Anybody, any of us that have ever competed in anything, Lord willing, here at New Year's, we'll have some games. I tell you what, you know me, I don't sit down to a game to lose to you. Nor do you, right? We sit down to play to win. The thing is, this is not a game. We need to give it our all, like we give it our all when we play. We need to give it our all like when we give it our all to work. May God help us. That's what he's posing to them. He says, I'm running with all. Know ye not that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. The thing is, in this that's set before us by our Lord, we're not running against each other, but we're running for the sake of the Lord. And then here in the church, the Lord has given us to where we can support and help one another to work together, because two working together is better than one. The Lord makes very clear in the scripture. And every man that striveth for mastery, he says, being an apostle, I want to be the best apostle I can be unto my Savior who has called me. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate or self-controlled in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we do so for an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. I know what my pursuit is and what the mission is from the Lord. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, not a shadow boxer, but in the fight for the Lord. Because the time is short and the day is far spent. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I look to persevere. To come out at the end, being obedient unto the Lord. What a shame for self to have preached and pursued and to have been in the blessing of the harvest and seeing that of the result of the hope and planting and watering and cultivating and reaping and folks saved, and then myself before the end of life quit, give up, and am set off on a shelf, set off and not finish strong for the sake of the Lord. He seems like he's bragging about himself, but he's not. He's just planning at putting a plain, sober understanding of the Lord's call and working in him unto them. Unto them. He said, and I'm not an apostle of the Lord, having pursued, suffered, enjoyed, been involved with the Lord working in me for your sakes. Indeed, he is an apostle. He goes here in chapter 10, which we'll stop here for this time. Just want you to think about this. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. He's going to take this Gentile church, namely, as we understand it, and he's there talking about the Lord, the forebears of faith. He's talking about Israel and who the Lord was disappointed in and rejected in Israel. How it could very well be, as it was with them, that the work of God is moving along in our midst, and there might be some that don't even know it. Seeing it, hearing it, and don't even realize that the work of God is at hand. Some, that Israel experienced every blessing of the Lord, from delivery from Egypt to being brought into the promised land ultimately, or being brought to Sinai, let's say. I mean, the Lord worked miraculously. You know, many of them didn't get it. Don't go back to Egypt. But there were some, as is pointed out here recently, Brother Moses says, "Lord, we don't need to go anywhere if you won't go with us." See, he saw it and desired it and wanted it. May the Lord help us indeed.